All right, let's open the Word of God for a scripture reading. Ezekiel 28. Let's open the Word of God for scripture reading to Ezekiel chapter 28. This morning we are going to begin, and as a matter of fact, if you want on the tape, you can add the scripture reading. This is part, the beginning of our study, When Satan Calls Your Name, which we are going to begin this morning in our study. The Word of God has so much about the conflict between God and Satan, the relationship between God and Satan, and so often believers do not see all that is there because they are blinded from the truth of God's Word. Now, this morning we are going to read a section of Scripture which we will not have time to study in the study. When Satan calls your name, but it is a part of our study. Now, one of the things that you want to remember when Satan calls your name is that of the relationship between God and Satan. That Satan has the permission to even talk to God, that God would grant him permission to zero in on a believer and to bring unbelievable suffering in a believer's life. What is the relationship between God and Satan that this would go on? And there are many passages of Scripture, I believe, that enlighten us in the relationship between God and Satan. It is so vital in this church, and I would think for the entire body of Christ, but I'm responsible for here, that you please appreciate how your life, your mortality right now on earth, your time here, is so important in its relationship to what happened in eternity past, what is going to happen in eternity future, and that the things that occur in your life are not accidental. The things that occur in your life, the different decisions that you and I make, are so vital in the relationship between God and Satan. It may not make you very happy, but you and I are not the center and the issue. We are the players here between a greater conflict that is going on between God and the supreme of His creation. The supreme of His creation. We know of God's great love for His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. But God also is the creator of all creatures. And Satan is the perfection of God's creation. There's a relationship, as we're going to see, that you and I best just leave alone. And I want to read for our scripture reading this morning to give you a glimpse. I'm not going to study this passage. I will make a few comments with some of these verses, because as I said, this is part of our study, though it is scripture reading, of the relationship between God and Satan. And I want you to always bear this in mind when you suffer, when things occur in your life, when you are prosperous, that relationship between God and Satan. So all we're going to do is get a glimpse this morning, just a snapshot, because we're not going to study this, of the relationship between God and Satan and when Satan calls your name. We will begin our reading here in Ezekiel 28. We will begin in verse 11. Verse 11 of Ezekiel chapter 28. Now, many years ago, we studied this, but I've thrown those notes away because while they, in my opinion, were very good and better than average, they missed it. There's so much here that is so vital to all of us. Now, in verse 11, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of Man, a title of Ezekiel, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God. Now, you have to be able, with the eyes of faith, to see the king of Tyre is Lucifer, Satan, the great creation of God. And with the eyes of faith, we are able to do this. We're able to see. There's a painting, an artist, and Bev Doolittle. There are many others who have copied this idea, but the wonder of her paintings that I really enjoy is that when you look at a Bev Doolittle painting, the natural eye can come along, the normal, and see a very beautiful painting. But the person that's trained, you look there, you stand, and all of a sudden you begin to see other things in her painting. You begin to see other eyes, figures, people, animals. So much is going on. And the more you look, even in her most recent one, the more you look, I think the most recent one has something like 33 other animals and things in it. But if you look at it, it's just a beautiful mountain scene. But with the trained eye, you're able to see. And as you and I read the Word of God with the eye of faith, with the direction of the Holy Spirit, you and I are able to penetrate and see what is going on in the Word of God. Now he says in verse 12, and do appreciate this, lamentation, not joy, lamentation over what's going to happen to Satan. All I'm saying here is that I want you to appreciate the relationship between God and Satan as we study when Satan calls your name. You must appreciate their relationship. So here's a lamentation. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, as we're going to see, is a figure of Satan, and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Now, from this point through verse 14, we have the prehistoric, before man, before the world in its present form, the first universe, we have the existence of Satan, the bringing in of Satan in perfection. You had the seal of perfection. This is the way Satan was created, in absolute perfection. I don't have time, but the word seal means this is the highest. This is God's greatest creation, is Lucifer. Now it's further described, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Genius and wisdom beyond all mankind, and perfect in his beauty. This is the way that he came into being. You were in Eden, the garden of God. I've got to do much more work on the idea of Eden and the various gardens that are in the Word of God, but not this morning. But you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Now we have a list of them, and as you read through without stopping, this is an idea, because this is given in two other places in the Word of God. It's used to the high priest, the breastplate of the high priest. This is the blessing of God. This is an ideal of God's blessing. And so this is describing the creation of Satan, bringing Satan into existence with the profound blessing of God. Every precious stone was a covering. Ruby, topaz, diamond, pearl, ox, jasper, I wish we had time to go through all of these and spin, but you get the idea of the magnificent blessing of God in the creation of Lucifer. Turquoise, emerald, gold, the workmanship, that's the creation of God. The workmanship of your settings and sockets, the very being of Lucifer, was in you on the day that you were created. They were prepared. Now, let's know here for you people involved in mythology and philosophy, the whole concept is not a dualism between good and evil. God created Satan. Satan has not always existed. There was a time when Satan did not exist, and then God, our God, created him in all of this magnificence. So here is the greatness of God. Now, verse 14, we have the title and function. you were the anointed cherub. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Now, the word anointed cherub, that word anointed, pardon me, that's the Messiah. That's messianic. I mean, this creature, Lucifer, was given unbelievable title, unbelievable function. So when you think of all the things going on in human history, and when you think of when Satan calls your name, and what's going to happen to you when Satan calls your name, why? What is it between God and Satan that God would permit this? Well, I want you to see what we're talking about. And I don't know, maybe for a human level right now for you, father, mother, son, father, son. It, you know, whatever they are, this is mine. The creation of it. And here's the creation of this being. Look where he came into being. Here's his title. You were the anointed cherub who covers. And I placed you there. And you were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the fires of stone. All right, you were the anointed cherub, title. You were the one who covers. It means to guard. Now, the guarding here, the covering here, and the whole idea, and I'm working on this, I'm not putting this forth, the total thing here, but these are concepts that Satan had the task of revealing God to all of the angels who were on the earth. This was his job. And what happened? You had in the area known as the earth, and I'll just draw like this, the earth. Here's the third heaven up here, and here's the third heaven, and the angels were on the earth. And it is this creature, Lucifer, Satan, who had the privilege of going to the third heaven, of being in the Garden of Eden with God, of walking with God in the Garden of Stone, of being with Jesus Christ up here. And his was the job to cover, to guard what? What does that mean? That means to guard the being and the glory of God. He has, we are the anointed. That's the messianic, the revealer. So it gives the idea that Satan would come down and he was the link between the angels and God. He was the link. He was the revealer. He guarded the glory of God. And there are other passages that would substantiate what we're seeing here in our passage. Now in verse 15, you were blameless in your ways. Remember that word. I won't come back here. But that word blameless will be used to describe one of the three people we're going to look at, or whose name Satan calls. And this is what Satan cannot stand. This was his status. You were blameless in your ways, activity of life, what he did, from the day you were created. And now look, until unrighteousness was found in you. Another passage of Scripture, you said in your soul. How did that unrighteousness get there? He made a decision. Until you said in your soul. The soul is the place of the battle. Until unrighteousness was found in you. Also note, as we continue our study, or as we get into our study, when Satan calls your name, this is his objective. Unrighteousness in you. This is what he wants to do to every one of you. This is his status, and this is what he wants in you. Now verse 16. We have the fall. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, now the fall, the judgment. I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. This was the place that Satan was allowed to go and be with God. Not all of the angels, but this one. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. Now, just to note a few things, by the abundance of your trade. If we had time, we would look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, where there Paul talks about those who trade with the Word of God, who peddle the Word of God. They take the Word of God that reveals the glory of God, and they trade on it. They use it for their glory, either to make money, to have a great gathering, a great following, to put forth their greatness, how wonderful they are. They trade on it. This is so characteristic of the very men that God had ordained throughout all church history to teach the Word of God, to guard or to cover this book, meaning in the word to cover, meaning to proclaim it, protect it, guard it, keep it pure so that those who listen will know God. And throughout all history, not just the church, but since the first century of the church, the first decade of the church, there were those who learned, I can peddle this word, I can trade or traffic with it, lots of people will give me money, lots of people will follow me, lots of people will think I'm wonderful, lots of people will gather around me. That's what this word means. That's what's happening in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, is the same principle, trying to gather his own glory for a long time. We don't know how long. We will when we get to heaven. Satan would come down, reveal the glory of God. That was his job. He was the covering cherub, the guard. He would reveal these things. And then something happened. And it happened inside of his soul. Something began to happen. He began to look at himself. He began to realize how magnificent he really was. And he was magnificent. God had created him in perfection. And he began to realize this. And then he began to use all of this to draw attention away from God ever so subtly and direct attention toward himself. And this is what is occurring in our study. So in verse 16, then, with these things in mind, but you, by the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. In other words, by the responsibility given to you, all the trade, the travel, the word to trade, to travel around, to talk. He was magnificent. And I want you to remember this also when we study our first man that he attacked. The trading, traveling. He would travel all around. And he traveled around proclaiming. He guarded the glory. I put the word here, glory of God. This was his job. He'd travel around, traffic around the glory of God. This is what he was designed for. This is what he was here for. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Very important in the first universe. And somewhere along the line, when we look at the angelic conflict, we'll study the Garden of Eden, the stones of fire, all of these places, the mountain of God, the north, all of them extremely important in the prehistoric battle and today. Verse 17, your heart, your soul, was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. Now this brings you and I into the picture. I put you before kings that they may take a look at you. They may see you. Verse 18 and 19, the final judgment. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profane your sanctuary. What are those? Places where he taught. I'm firmly believing that Satan was a great teacher of God. This was his task. This was his responsibility. This was his glory, to proclaim the glory of God. You profane your sanctuary. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the people are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more. That's in the future. And what we're going to study is between what happened in eternity past, what's going to happen in eternity future, what Satan is doing right now in regard to each of us. that God add his blessing to the reading of his word. In preparation and continuation now of our study, I would like for you to open in your psalm book to Psalm 388, very important song in regard to when Satan calls your name. It's a song by Isaac Watts. It deals with the things, the attitude that you and I are going to have in song here, the attitude you and I are going to have when Satan calls your name. And I also believe that he calls the name of every believer at least once in your life. He will call your name. But we'll see all of this in our study. Let's stand and sing, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" All four verses, Isaac Watts song number 388. All right, with that song and scripture reading, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God now, that which, as Isaac Watts said, will direct us and guide us through all of this suffering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is the nature of man in our flesh to count our days, our weeks, our months, our years. And now, Heavenly Father, we close out a year of our life and enter into a new year. Now, Heavenly Father, we are going to be oriented to the conflict that rages around us, unseen. It's so easy, Heavenly Father, for us to get caught up in the scene, the material, our president, our Congress, our legislature, our Supreme Court, all of the things going on in this country now. But these, Heavenly Father, are but a shadow of what really is going on in the invisible, the spiritual realm. We therefore, Heavenly Father, pray for the eyes of faith that we may accurately understand the passages that are before us, and then apply all of these things to the understanding of our own lives and the things that happen. To the understanding, Heavenly Father, of your glory, your grace, your power. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're going to begin this morning the study of when Satan calls your name. How long this special will last, I'm not sure. I will assure you it will not go into 1995. I don't want to rush, but I don't want to belabor any one point too long. Now, so often we talk about the election of God, but here we're going to deal with when Satan calls your name. Now, we have studied a Christ-centered life in various aspects, a Christ-centered home, Christ-centered decisions, Christ esteem. We have studied spiritual love, loving as Christ loved. And we are now in the midst of looking at the spirit-filled life, which makes all of the other things happen in your own life. It is the filling of the Spirit, the empowering ministry of the Spirit, that gives the power for the fulfilling of these things. But all of these have a purpose. The starting with the spirit-filled life, understanding the place of God the Holy Spirit in your life, in the spirit-filled life, and the place of God the Holy Spirit in your life, here is the power to do anything if we're going to do anything in this conflict. Then we've noted the spiritual love, or the loving as Jesus Christ. We are to love as Jesus Christ loved you. And what's interesting is this spiritual love is directed toward other born-again believers. Now what we're going to take a look at is one of the primary reasons as to why the spirit-filled life in the church age, why we have the command of loving other believers as Christ loved you. To understand what other believers are going through, instead of judging and maligning and criticizing whatever others are doing or are not doing, and especially when other born-again believers are in the midst of severe suffering. Now, I'm dealing with born-again believers, but you remember the first verse that we read in Ezekiel 28? Lamentation. That means the curding, the crying of what's going to happen to the king of Tyre. not joy, not exultation, but lamentation. But it is amazing how born-again believers deal with each other when other believers are in adverse suffering. The arrogance of some believers is overwhelming to the angelic conflict. It is just shocking. The way some believers deal when another believer, everything is going wrong in another believer's life. I mean, everything is going wrong, and it's just getting worse and worse. And how believers with self-righteous doctrine in their soul, well, you're just a loser, you made bad decisions, you're no good, and all of these type of things, no place for the filling of the Spirit or spiritual love. And no understanding, or let's put it this way, they may have it in their soul, and they may believe it in their soul when they heard it in church, but when it comes down to the place, the second place of faith, and that is the use and the application of what you have in your soul, it isn't there. What we're going to be looking at is what happens to believers when Satan calls your name. We're going to look at three believers. Just three. See, so often we deal throughout history with the calling of God. When God calls a believer's name. Election. A lot of doctrines about it. But I want to spend a few hours with you and when Satan calls your name. What happens when Satan calls your name? We have several examples to pick from in the Word of God, and we're going to study just three isolated cases, and we're going to look at them briefly, then go over some principles of all of them together, and then I'm going to hit you with a tough one. I'm going to show you a passage in the Word of God where not only does Satan ask permission against a believer, but he zeroes in on an entire local assembly. And he can do that. And what happens when Satan decides, God, I want that whole church. I want them. I want you to let me at them as a group. Not as a little isolated individual believer, but an entire assembly. So we're going to be covering a number of things in this study. And I'm going to try to draw for you the simplicity of lessons from the Word of God. What happens when Satan calls your name? At some point in your life, your name will be called. I think that every born-again believer, even that some people like to call losers, I think that some point in every believer's life, Satan calls your name. We're going to be studying all of these things as we go through and looking at them from the Word of God. But let's start out now with a couple of principles of introduction. Three principles of introduction. One, demons, that's all of the fallen angels, demons are constantly attacking the life of the believer. Constantly attacking your Christ-centered life. Now, I'm not right now dealing with the unbeliever. I hope that you're aware of the fact, dealing with Satan and demons, he functions under him. He has a world of army under him. He has a great army of demons who decided in the conflict to follow him. Let's go back very briefly. Here is the prehistoric area of the earth, and it is occupied by angels. Angels are all over the earth. At some point, here is the throne of God, the north, the far north, the third heaven, the garden of stone, so many titles for what's going on up here, but it's the throne of God. And at some point, Satan came down, Lucifer came down, and he declared in his soul, he became so occupied with himself, and he said, I will. Now, up to that point, that had never been. There had only been one will up to that point, and that was the will of God. Never questioned, never challenged. It never entered into the thinking of the supernatural creations of angels, of any other will. But Satan came down and he said, I will. And instantly, take a look at earth. Instantly, there was a division. Just because of this, there was a great division. There were those angels those supernatural beings who said immediately, no, you will not be like God, you cannot be like God, and we are going to stay with God. Those we call the elect angels. It is who elected to go with God. But there were a multitude of angels on earth who said, yes, yes, you can be like God. You can take over and rule. And I want you to see that as soon as you have two wills, there is division. Try that out in a family, in a local church. You have two wills, you immediately have all this division. And that's what happened on the face of the earth. Now, in regard to Satan's strategy, first of all, not part of our study, but just for you, reminding you, in regard to all unbelievers, those who have not accepted Christ as Savior, those to whom you will witness to, those to whom you will witness to in your life, unbelievers, Satan is going to be working on them to blind them as to the gospel, as to their need, first of all, or if he can't get them not to see that they need a Savior, then as to the way, that, in other words, the fact that they can do it. They can do it themselves. That they can work. They can be moral. They can be religious. They can be legalistic. They can do something for God. He will do whatever he can to blind them in regard to the gospel. You have to know that. Just to witness. We're not going to get any more people here in 1994 by shuffling the deck. Somebody that's in a Bible church somewhere else moves here. Somebody from this Bible church moves somewhere else. And the Bible church is a deck of cards and we just shuffle everybody around. You're going to have to witness. But when you do tell someone of the gospel at work, at home, in your social life, wherever you are, I don't care if you're at a bar, at a club, don't ever be ashamed to tell someone of Christ. That's probably the only place that unbeliever will be. Is in a bar or club. And if you're led by the Spirit to give the gospel there, give it. Give it. Oh, you might take a shot. Well, if you're such a great Christian, what are you doing here? Don't worry about all that type of stuff. Put yourself out there and give the gospel. So, you give the gospel, but just remember, Satan is also working. The Holy Spirit is working inside of that unbeliever to convict him of sin and unrighteousness, but Satan's also working. There's a great thing going on to the unbeliever to blind them as to the gospel. But that's not my study this week, this time, this special. I've got to make it longer than a week, but this special. All right, point one, demons are always constantly working, attacking the believer, attacking your Christ-centered life. Now, this is always going on. This isn't my study. I just want you to be aware this is always going on. Day in and day out. Demons are at work. Continuing point one, they are at work to cause you to stay away from the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only power on earth that is equal to God. That's the only power on earth that is more greater than Satan. See, on earth, this creature, Satan, he has been banished from the throne of God up here. He's now stationed on earth. He is the most powerful creature on earth. He rules. He rules. He is the God of the earth right now. He rules the earth. Now, what God the Father has done in the church age, he has put inside of every one of you. Now, it's inside of you, the third member of the Godhead, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, who is more powerful than Satan. And Satan knows this. And so what Satan wants to do is to be sure that you do not utilize the power of God the Holy Spirit. That you do not rely on it. How's he going to do that? His ways are ingenious. One, if he can, to just the simplicity, you're not even aware of it, you don't need it. Just totally obscure and that's it. But those who do realize from the Bible something about it, obscure how you obtain it, how you have it, what it is. Or don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit-filled life. As we saw in our study of the Spirit-filled life, the church today, the Bible church today, is greatly intimidated by the charismatic movement. Well, I don't want to be a charismatic. I don't want to be a weirdo. I don't want to be rolling around on the floor. Don't worry. God the Holy Spirit did not make a weirdo out of your Savior. He did not make a weirdo out of Paul. He's not going to do that. They not only have carried, did not carried the Holy Spirit too far, they've been wrong from their first point. It isn't a matter of, well, the charismatics are on the right track, but they've gone too far. Wrong. They're not even on the right track. Don't be frightened of him. Here's the power. And all of this intimidation, whatever Satan can do to get you not to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, sometimes through the teaching, through fear, through whatever, to get you not to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another one. To neglect the hearing of the Word of God. To neglect the hearing of the Word of God. To neglect the worshiping or assembling of yourself. And he does this in a multitude of ways. Well, you just don't need the Word of God that much. What you need to do is outwork it. Wrong. But that's what he'll do. You don't need a pastor teacher. You can study the Word of God all yourself. Wrong. And then to get you into a local church where the Word of God is not taught or not taught correctly. But one, he's going to work a demon. Always work it. This is, I hope you're following me. All I'm saying here under point one, the first principle, this is always going on inside of you. Always in your environment. This isn't my study. This is all, we're going to have to put up with this 24 hours a day, every day that you're a believer. This is always going on. One, to get you as a born-again believer not to walk by faith, moment-by-moment faith, in God the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Two, not to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. And a lot of ways he'll deceive you. You can do it on your own. You don't need to do it at all. All these types of things. You don't need the local assembly of believers, whatever it is, but get the Word of God neutralized in you. Did you make your life so busy, I just don't have time. Oh, I love God and I love the Bible, but I deceive yourself. It doesn't matter. He's got everyone, for every one of us, he knows what it'll do to get us not to grow in the Word of God. Maybe to have the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. Word of God wrongly taught, wrongly divided. There's just a thousand ways that he can do this. And this is always working. It isn't a matter of, well, I've got this locked in. No, he'll cross you right in the middle of it to get you not to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, hearing the Word of God in the manner in which God has established it. There are only one or two reasons why you're in Bible class this morning. Only one or two reasons. One, you are led by God the Holy Spirit, or you are here by the flesh. Quite frankly, if you're here by the flesh, boy, your flesh is really weak. I'd have just stayed in bed. But if you're led here by the flesh, and some people are, what do I mean? My obligation. It's just simply a matter, this is what I have to do, and I will do it. Other people to impress somebody. Other people because their parents, or their husband, or their wife, or whatever. But it's my flesh. But you know what, all the people that are not here this morning? I can't get upset because there's only one or two reasons why they're not here. One, they are not here because the Holy Spirit led them not to be here, or by the flesh, they choose not to be here. But it is going to be Satan's objective to get you not to grow in the Word of God. Make your life so busy, so complicated, you can do it yourself, whatever. But you will neglect the Word of God in this attack. Now there's a third area that I want to mention. He's constantly working on us, and that's in the area of production. Living the Christ-centered life. Glorifying God. Functioning. And again, he teaches in this one. He deceives, always working on us. I want to put the word always. This is something going on day in and day out of your life. One, related to the power and the filling of God the Holy Spirit. Secondly, related to the importance of the knowledge and study of the Word of God. And thirdly, your production or your Christ-centered life. It is a Christ-centered life. The glorification of God in your life as an ambassador, as an open letter. And again, he cheats. He attacks by convincing us that the, you know, there are a lot of ways he does. Well, this is what the Christian life is. Filled with a very pious moral life. Then you are fulfilling it. And try to have no sin in your life. Be moral in your life. Other people, it's another way. It's just not all that important. Well, this isn't important, the overt life. So he just works on them. Demons are always working. Constantly working. And I've just chosen three areas all the time to get you away from the filling of the Spirit, the Word of God, and living the Christ-centered life as far as your life is concerned. So Satan and demons are constantly attacking your life, deceiving you, cheating you, defrauding you out of a relationship with Christ, out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, out of a relationship with God the Father. Second principle. But there is a time in life of the believer when Satan himself calls your name. When he takes personal interest in you. What kind of dogma? Let me give you some. Sometimes it comes to you all of a sudden. It comes to you all of a sudden and lasts an indefinite period of time. Short time, long time. Time is important. It may last a short time in your life and be unbelievably severe. It may last a long period of time. But we have two principles. Time plus suffering. When Satan calls your name. And he does it in all kinds of ways. It may come all at once. It may be periodic in your life. It may just be at one time, and once you go through it, it's all over as far as Satan calling your name. As we'll see in the study of Job, just one episode. How long it lasts, we don't know. But I want you to also appreciate the fact that there are other, when it's here, and then here, and then here, and he just seems to always show up. Every now and then, periodically throughout your life. There's no dogma as to things like this. I can show the dogma of Satan calling your name. I can show you the dogma of that. I can show you the dogma of what happens when he calls your name. But see, we're dealing with a genius. Just like I don't know how he's going to get you not to be filled with the Spirit, how he can defraud you not to be in Bible class and study the Word of God, how he can get you not to produce as a born-again believer. I don't know. He's got a multitude of ways. I can dogmatically declare to you he will do that. You will not. He will attack a Christ-centered home, your marriage, your single life. How? Ways. I don't know these very factors of time and the suffering, but I will show you these things are there. But it's so flexible in the genius of Satan of how all of this is accomplished. Now the third principle of introduction. The third principle of introduction. First principle, you're always going to be under siege. Second principle, but there comes a time in almost every believer's life when Satan is going to call your name. It will come, and when it does, it will make all the difference in your life. You just can't believe, as we're going to study, the difference it's going to make in your life and in eternity when Satan calls your name. Now the third principle, there are a multitude of relationships involved when Satan calls your name. Now I guess we could say I'm really into our study now. There are a multitude of relationships. 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 Put it on the board. It is a vital word when Satan calls your name. And there are a multitude of relationships when Satan does this. I want to go through some of these because I'm going to be referring to them throughout the study, and I want to have already laid a foundation with you. First of all and foremost, when Satan, relationships, and I'm going to put it all on the board. I want you so aware of this. When Satan, the greatest creation of God, the leader of the demons, when Satan calls your name, not somebody else's, but your name. All right. When Satan calls your name, we're going to have a little fun with it, even though it's not a funny subject. A lot of people may never have gotten the pronunciation of your name correctly. But let me tell you something, just so you feel good, Satan knows exactly how to pronounce your name. He knows it exactly. Got some other things I'm going to show you. It doesn't matter where you live. I'll just hide away somewhere and Satan's never heard. Never heard of Waxahachie. And who cares about it? I'm going to hide somewhere. And he'll never find me. Oh, no. Not only. This is a frightful thought. See, you and I are well aware of the fact God knows where I am every minute. God knows where I am. He knows where Waxahachie. I'm going to hide in the most obscure places. I'm just going to hide in just Plano. Just a plain old place. No, there's no plain old place. Not only does God know where you are all the time, get ready, say to Satan. Satan also knows. He hasn't lost your card either. So he knows where you are. But we'll cover all of this. Relationships, when Satan calls your name. Relationships are very important in the conflict. There is a principle that we learn about ourselves when we're alone. I live alone. And there is some things we learn. How you handle loneliness. And loneliness is increasing in America. Reading some horrible, just frightening statistics of the number of people from 1950, the statistics, to the close of this century, the number of people who will be living alone. So there is a lot that you learn about yourself living alone. I want you to understand you learn more about yourself than you have to live with someone. That's why a lot of people are now living alone because they can't live with someone. And now they're finding they can't even live with themselves. If you learn about yourself, when the moment you open your eyes, you have to start adjusting because there's someone else right there. Relationships are vital in the conflict. Now, I'm going to look at some of these relationships in preparation for our study. And the first relationship that I want to look at and draw your attention to when Satan calls your name is the relationship between God and Satan. This is the first relationship. The relationship between God and Satan. Question, what is the relationship between God and Satan that Satan, one, can even come before God? That Satan can even come before him. Two, once there, he can ask permission to single out a believer, to single you out. These are awesome things to think about in this conflict. When Satan calls your name, what is the relationship? Stop thinking about this yourself here. When you and I go under this suffering that we're going to be studying, what is it between God and Satan that he would allow this? What is going on between God and Satan that Satan can come before him and that Satan can ask permission and be granted? What is there between Satan and God that God would grant him permission to specifically bring suffering on the life of a believer? What is that relationship? See, sometimes we're going to get so aggravated and crying, as we've already noted in the spirit-filled life, but in our study, and you and I don't want to put us in yet, but when you and I get it, we're crying out to God, why are you doing this to me, God? God has abandoned me. God, what is it between God and Satan that you would allow this? What is there between God and Satan that he would allow? And we've got verses. I'm going to show you. I don't have to do any in-reading here. When Satan says to God, I want that one. I want them. And God is going to say yes. He's going to grant it. Which, by the way, also gives us the idea that God, there are times when God will say, no, keep your hands off. They're not ready yet. I'm going to lead them away from the battle right now. See, that's what he did with the children of Israel. Came out of Egypt. No, they're not ready to go up to the Philistines yet. I'm going to lead them away. This is why you want to walk in the filling of the Spirit. This is why you want to be led of the Spirit. See, God the Holy Spirit knows what you're ready for and what you're not ready for. He leads you away from the Philistines until you're ready. So there are times when God, no, you cannot touch them. You leave them alone right now. They're not ready. Now, that doesn't mean, see, now you go back to that first point I gave you. Every one of us, every day of our life, are being seized by demons. Keep away from Bible class. Keep away from the filling of the Spirit. Keep away from production. I'm dealing with something very special for you. And Satan calls your name. You can't believe the suffering that is going to come into your life if Satan decides, I want you. So there's an unbelievable relationship going on between God and Satan at this time. Now, there's another relationship. This is the first one. There's another relationship that we're going to be noting. The second one, you and Satan. You and Satan. What is it about you? What is it about your relationship with Satan that Satan would call your name? What's the deal between you and Lucifer? Don't get confused and don't go ahead of me. If this isn't you and God here, I'm talking about you and Satan. What is there about you and Satan that he's decided, I want you? And what happens? What happens when Satan decides, I want you? What happens when Satan decides, I want to zero in on you? The relationship that now has come about between you and Lucifer. And what are you supposed to do when Satan calls your name? What happens in your life when Satan calls your name? What kind of suffering? You'll learn first hand. One thing you're going to do, we're going to see, you're going to learn first hand of the power of Satan. We're occupied with the power of God. By the time we get through with this study, if you'll stay with me, you're going to have respect for the power of Satan. You're going to learn of the power of Satan. You're not going to learn it academically. See, this is where we're going to come into the two areas of faith, the two great areas of faith. The first great area of faith is hearing the Word of God. Then the second great area of faith is when you and I have to apply the Word of God. A lot of believers believe the Word of God at its hearing, and that's the first place we have to. But then when you're out in the battle and when Satan has called your name, now you're going to have some understanding of the power of Satan firsthand, how he can hurt your soul and actually cause you. Now watch how Satan, let's look at it another way. Here is, first of all, God and Satan. This is one relationship we'll learn about. And we're going to learn about the relationship between Satan and you. And you're going to learn what can happen inside of your soul, how you will do things you never thought that you would do. You will do things, and I'm not talking sin, even though that is included. I'm talking about you'll do things spiritually, relationship to God, that, my God, you would swear you would never do. And when it's over, you will think, I'll be so ashamed if I ever did that, but I've got another little twist for you in the angelic conflict. Just stay with me. This is going to be an excellent study for your life in the angelic conflict. But what Satan can do as far as your soul when he's called your name, the relationship between you and Satan, what he's going to learn about you, what he can learn about you is going to be involved here. See, he doesn't know. Now, God knows. Let's put that to rest. Our God is omniscient. He knows all. But not Satan. Satan's going to give it a shot. Satan's going to zero in on you, but he doesn't know. So we're going to study firsthand what actually happens when Satan calls your name. and the things that you will do that you can't even imagine that you will do. But he calls your name. Those of you who've been believers for a long time, I've been a believer. First thoughts I had, the young lad says a Christian. I forgot my simple pattern as an unbeliever. Whatever I did between age of birth and 6 years old must have been a good one. But I don't remember that. But you know what is frightening here? When Satan calls your name, the relationship between you and Satan, he can get you, and don't you think for a moment he can't. He can get you to deny your Savior. I'll show you. I'm laying down foundation here. The relationship between you and Satan calls your name. He can get you even to do that. One more relationship that I'll mention this morning, and we'll take up the rest of them tonight, but to complete this. A third relationship that is involved is you and God. The relationship between you and God. This is the center, the heart of our study, your relationship with your God. I want you to be very sure as we go through this study that whether it is Satan who calls your name, now watch, please listen, whether it is Satan who calls your name or God who points you out to Satan. And that's really going to be difficult between you and God. You know, God, it's one thing if you're to call my name, but you have to bring it up. Why can't you just let my name alone? Surely you could call somebody else's name. I notice you don't call my name when it's time for those great blessings at the lottery. But boy, when you're talking to Satan, oh yeah, yeah, good old Charlie Brown down there. Hey! What is it? What is it between you, and your God? And Satan says, I want you, and God, your God says, okay, you can have it. What is going on? What's going on between your God and you, and Satan calls your name? Not only that, and I'm using when Satan calls your name, and I'm putting in that when it's God who points you out, because that happens. In the relationship between Satan and God in this conversation, it's God who will actually bring up your name sometimes. But I'm going to include that when Satan calls your name, because eventually he'll say, oh yes, I want him. Oh yes, I want her. So, what is the relationship this way between you and God when Satan has called your name? Why would your God give Satan permission to attack God? Doesn't he love you? Doesn't your God care about you? Why are you doing this, God? There's something very powerful when Satan calls your name between you and God going on. Not only between God and Satan you, but between you and your God. Here's where your faith is going to come into the battle. Here's where you're going to stand there and you're going to continue in that faith when there's no reason for having that faith. What kind of God are you? What kind of God are you that you're allowing this to happen to me? What kind of God are you that you turn me over to the adversary, to Satan? That you permit Satan to attack? Why? Why does God do this? Why does God allow all of this suffering in your life? Get it in your notes and in your soul. He could have said no. And you're right when you cry out, you could have prevented this. All you would have had to have done is say, no, you cannot have this servant. What is going on between you and God? And God says, yes, Satan, you can have him. You can bring this suffering and this adversity, this torment. You can have this believer down on his knees, crawling on the ground. I give you permission. What's going on between you and God here? What's occurring in your relationship, God to you and you toward God? This is where we really are going to hurt in the midst of all this suffering when Satan calls your name. This is where we're going to hurt. Now watch. As we close, this is where you're going to hurt. We're not going to, you know, I understand you. You're no good anyway, and I know that. But over here, why? This is where the great battle is going to be. Right here, you and God, your relationship with God, and Satan calls your name. Why are you doing this, God? Why are you permitting this to happen in my life, in my marriage, in my church, in my business? Why are you allowing this? This is where we're going to scream and hurt to God. Why are you doing these things to me? Why are you allowing Satan to do these things to me? What kind of God are you? If Satan calls your name, it's going to bring into great play your relationship here. So, we'll resume at this point tonight, but first of all, when Satan calls your name, the relationship between God and Satan, we've got to take a look at why Satan can come before God and then ask for a believer. And then we're going to study you and your relationship with Satan, Satan's relationship with you, and zero in on your relationship with God, God's relationship with you, and we're not through yet. When Satan calls your name, are just the relationships that are involved here. But it's a relationship between God, the omnipotent, sovereign, righteous God, and Satan, the seal of perfection, who abandoned and rebelled. And here you are, weak, finite man, saved by grace, turned over to Satan for all of his suffering. When I get through, you're going to consider this an honor, I hope. I hope that I can teach this where you will. You'll see the significance of this relationship between God and Satan, Satan and you and God, that you consider this an honor when your name is called. Because one of the most wonderful things that's going to happen is right here on the board. You're going to have such a phenomenal relationship with your God that you can't even imagine what you're going to learn and experience when Satan calls your name between you and God. I hope you don't mind, but we're going to close this morning singing. We're going to sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Song number 37 in your hymn book. "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Pay attention to all of the words of this great hymn. And when we are through singing, I'm going to ask Navy Lieutenant Brad Knowlton to make his way to the front and lead us in a closing word of prayer. Let's all stand and sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," all four verses.
Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your blessings that you have provided us in this great nation. Dear Lord, we pray for your strength and your guidance, so when Satan calls your name, you can reveal your glory. In Christ's name, amen.